mini-series on the One Another Commands. And this one, of course, in closing this part of the series, is Forgive One Another. Maybe you've been asked, I've been asked a number of times throughout the ministry as a pastor, and both as a pastor as well as a missionary. This is a question that oftentimes is posed. Why do Christians hurt each other and then find it so difficult to forgive? Have you ever asked that question? Have you ever thought that question? Have you ever experienced the reality of what that question is addressing? There are a number of reasons, I think, that we find it so easy to hurt one another, if you will, not intentionally at times, but sometimes intentionally. And sometimes we also find it so hard to forgive. Let me give you at least three right now. First of all, we're still sinners. And so why are we surprised that we hurt one another? Now, that's what sin does. It hurts relationships, even close relationships within a family and within a church family. We do get offended, and we do offend other believers. The second reason, I believe, is we expect more out of Christians, because after all, they're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, aren't they? We should certainly see a transformation in their life, but sometimes we're only looking through the magnifying glass at the lives of others and not at the mirror and seeing ourselves. And so we get easily disappointed with one another when we fall short of our expectations that we have for others. I think that's one of the key reasons. There's another reason, too. We often find it more difficult to admit that we are wrong because of our religious self-assurance makes it harder to confess our part in the broken relationship. Both the offender and the offended have a God-given part in the broken relationship and therefore the reconciliation and restoration of that relationship. Forgive one another is a very important doctrine. It's a very important command. But take a look. If you take out your outline, we have a number of verses, of course. Ephesians chapter 4, a very well-known passage that speaks about forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake have forgiven us. So we want to invite you to take out the outline. Just as I read through Ephesians and also the Colossian passage, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Boy, that's quite a standard, isn't it, that God has set before his children. And because we're part of his family. And that is the standard. The standard is Jesus Christ, as God has forgiven us. But then again, in Colossians chapter 3, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. That same standard, reiterated, repeated. And that's a standard, if you will, for all of us. We're reminded, because Paul was reminded, and he was instructed by the Lord's teaching also, on forgiveness. And so there's much more than we have here. The Lord makes it absolutely clear, if we wanted to boil it all down, both the offender and the offendee have a responsibility to go and resolve that issue, that offense, that hurt, and to rebuild and restore that relationship. Take a look, if you will, a verse of Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 through 15. If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Wow. Boy, that's really clear to me. I've got an obligation. I'm sure it's clear to you too. Now, some passages in the Word of God sometimes are somewhat obscure, and you're searching out and you're comparing with other scripture, or you're taking out, if you will, a commentary to find out what is the meaning of this. But this is very clear, isn't it? The clarity of this passage certainly underscores and heightens, if you will, our understanding that God takes forgiveness really, really important for you and for me. But the heart of unforgiveness has closed the door to fellowship and forgiveness with the Father. You see, that's what an unforgiving heart does. It closes the door to fellowship with God and our experiencing fellowship and forgiveness. Remember the parable of the unforgiven servant? Of course, we had, it was read by William. Let me just read this passage for you, if you will. Then his his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, because he was forgiven so much, a debt that he couldn't pay, incidentally. He had no hope of paying that debt, but it was forgiven. And then he went out, and because he had a fellow servant who owed him so much less, he couldn't forgive him. And so it was told to the master who had forgiven him so much, and he brought him in before him. And he says this, you wicked servant, I forgive you all the debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I've had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. That's pretty clear to me. It's not obscure. These are teachings from Christ himself. You see, we could kind of summarize that passage. The unforgiving person is self-imprisoned in the debtor's prison of despair and bitterness, feeding on the memory of that offense. Every day feeding on the memory of that offense, which will never nourish, but only emaciate the soul. Is it any wonder why so many Christians are spiritually anemic? Spiritually emaciated. Part of that is because they've been in debtor's prison for a long time with an unforgiving spirit, an unforgiving heart. And just like Christ teaches us. There's a couple of words, if you will, a number of words that are used in the New Testament to kind of give us a better understanding of when we say, yeah, please forgive me, it's not, yeah, I'm sorry about that. I really, really am. I apologize. It's much deeper than that, isn't it? Especially when we consider relationship between brothers and sisters in Christ and the family of God, or in your family, in my family. Aphemi is one of the words. It's to forgive, to release, to leave, to abandon is a word that's used very frequently throughout the New Testament for forgiving. In fact, it's used about 143 times. That's a lot of times. So the Word of God has a lot to speak about with regard to forgiveness. Charizomai is the next word, to give graciously, to forgive. That's the word that's used in the Ephesians 4 passage and also in Colossians chapter 3. A word that's used for reconciliation, because that's really what forgiveness does. It's in the process, it's a step in the process of reconciliation where two parties are now brought together in a relationship and rebuilding that relationship, both in depth and breadth and strength. The word katalasso means to reconcile, to change. The root word alasso means to exchange. You see, I want to exchange that bitterness that's in my heart because I've been offended with blessings from God that I can bless you too. Only forgiveness can do that. And the reconciliation follows. Unforgiveness is like a malignant cancer in our very soul. As we carry that unforgiving heart, if you will, we carry that unforgiving cancer in our lives around with us, it eats away at us from the inside out. It does. There have been studies that have been made, both international studies as well as here in the States, that the lack of forgiveness suddenly affects us spiritually, but it affects us physically. It affects us mentally. It affects us emotionally. Forgiveness is that surgical act of removing that cancerous tumor. And then the healing begins. Turn with me. Why must we forgive one another? I have a list of a number of reasons why we need to forgive one another. Jesus paid for all of our sins so that we could be forgiven and forgive others. You see, Jesus paid a debt I could never pay. I owed. He paid the debt that I owed, but that I could never pay, to give me the gift of forgiveness that I never deserved. And you see, that's the basis for my forgiveness from my Heavenly Father and yours also. But that's also the basis for our forgiving one another and others in the body of Christ. God commands us to forgive others. Another reason, having an unforgiving heart poisons our fellowship with our Heavenly Father and with others. Another reason for forgiving, because not forgiving robs us and others of God's blessings. Unforgiveness is a sin that easily grows like a cancer. Unforgiveness is a root of bitterness that will cause trouble and defile many. Positively, forgiveness is embracing God's grace and sharing it with another. In some sense, you could say, when God forgave you because of your faith and trust in the finished work of Christ, that he paid the debt, God forgave you, and in some sense, he's paying it forward for you and I to forgive others. That's the basis. Forgiving one another as God has, for Christ's sake, forgiven you. Some reasons why we don't forgive one another. Some things that we think or say. I know I have. Maybe you have too. Maybe you have some other reasons that I don't have here. But just take a look at some of these reasons that people often say or think why they don't forgive their brother or sister in Christ, whether it's in their biological family or within their church family. Well, the hurt is too big. I can't forgive her. I can't forgive him. But you know, that pain will never get any smaller. It will never get any smaller if we continue in unforgiveness. Another reason, or another thing that we think or say, time will heal it and it'll be all forgotten. How many times have we done that? I have. Oh, just get over it. Have you ever thought that? But the thing is, time doesn't heal anything. Grace heals. Time does not heal. You know what time does? It just gives us a greater and a deeper pool of self-pity to wallow in. That's exactly what that time does. I don't want to wallow, do you? No. Let's go on. I'll forgive when he says he's sorry. How many have said that? I have. I'll forgive when he said he's sorry. You know, even though they don't say they're sorry, you can still forgive them and act upon that grace of forgiveness. I had to learn that. I'm still learning it. Another thing that we say or do, I can't forgive if I can't forget. How many have thought that? How many have said that? Well, you know, the truth of the matter is, you may never forget. And the Lord may, in his grace and mercy, allow us to remember. But if we go through the process of the grace of forgiveness and reconciliation, we may remember that, but the hurt won't be there. We may remember that to learn from, and to learn more about the grace of God in forgiving. My wife, my son, my daughter, my brother, my sister, my neighbor. I'll forgive her. If I forgive her, she's only going to do it again. How many thought this? No, Peter did. Because in that day and age, the Jewish culture was, and the Pharisees taught it, you know, you're only required to forgive a person three times. After that, yep, three strikes and you're what?
Out!
Peter thought he was really doing something great. He was saying, what about seven times? And you can almost see, you see him beaming. How about seven times, Lord? You know, like I'm, the disciple of Christ of the year. And he can get the award. Now, some translations say 70 times 7 or 77 times. The point is that we're not to count it. That's not the point the Lord is making. Because they may do it again. And again. But you know, dear brother, dear sister in Christ, you know, I've done the same thing against my Father in heaven. Again and again and again. And I've never heard him say, Bill, enough. You've done it 490 times. No. Another thing we think or say, well, they will never change. I would just avoid them. I can remember Bill Lincoln, one of my professors in college. He was also not only a professor, but he was a pastor. And he shared with us in pastoral theology class that he was pastoring a church, one of his early churches in the ministry. And he really wanted to see the church grow as we all want to see the church grow. Amen? Say amen. Yeah, amen. And he did too. And so he realized that there were certain things, certain frictions, certain divisions, certain issues in the church family that was holding back the blessings of the Lord. It does hold back, really. We'll get into that a little more clearly. So he went around and he noticed that these two ladies in the church, and I'm not just saying that it's women because it's guys too, okay? But this was what he experienced at this one time that he shared with us. And so he went to this one gal. The other gal was still coming out to church, but the other gal, she absented herself from worship and fellowship and activities. And so he prayed about it, said, Lord, give me wisdom, let me go. And he went to see her, and he opened with prayer, and he says, you know, I've noticed that, you know, you've been a member of the church many, many years, but it's the past 5 years you haven't been out. Just going over the record. What's wrong? Oh, nothing. No, really. Dear sister in Christ, what is wrong? What happened? What happened 5 years ago that turned you against the church and your church family? She said, well, I'll tell you. And the more she got into the story of telling of what happened 5 years ago, she became more enraged over the offense. You know what it was? She said, well, Pastor, she said, you know, we always had good fellowship meals, and I've enjoyed them so much, and I've always brought my prized potato salad. And she says, I know everybody likes my potato salad, but there was one afternoon after church, we had a fellowship meal, and you know, Sally, you know what she said about my potato salad? Bill Lincoln says, no, I don't know it. I don't need to know. But was it just potato salad? Yes, it was. It was my potato salad. How foolish. Now, I realize that there are other hurts, too, that can go deeper than potato salad. But the thing is, if you have that hurt with a brother or sister in Christ, whether it be in this church family or any church family, what are you going to do about it? Go on. I guess you'll say maybe what's next. That's just the way I am. Boy, that has been a rug that's covered so much stuff. You know? Well, that's just the way I am. You know, I said that today. Well, honey, that's just the way I am. Well, that's not the way I want you, nor does Jesus want you that way either. Yeah. Just the way I am. The next one, I don't deserve that kind of treatment. Have you ever thought this or said this? I don't deserve that kind of treatment. After all I have done for them? Yeah. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it hurts real deep and real long. But today it should stop. Today it should stop. You see, it's we who set the limits. God never sets the limits on forgiveness. We set the limits on forgiveness in at least three ways. We'll limit what we forgive, We will limit also who will forgive. And we will also limit how many times we're going to forgive. Three ways that we limit forgiveness. What we forgive, who we forgive, and how many times. That's just enough. That's it. Yeah. Have you ever thought, you know, if I could go back 10 or 15 years ago, I would do that something different. Ever thought that? Okay. I know you got it right in your mind right now. You see that picture of it. 10, 15 years ago, if you could go back and you would do something different, right? And it would, you, in your mind, you would think, well, you know, that would change me. It would change my life situation. Well, you know, there's no do-overs. And none of us can go back 10, 15 years. But beloved, every one of us can do something right now. that if we've been carrying something by character, by conflict, offense, or whatever it may be, we can do something right now. So that thing or those things 10 or 15 years ago will not affect us today or tomorrow. You see, that's what forgiveness does. It has great power because of the gospel. We can't go back, but you and I can make the right choice today. You and I can make that choice. You see, that's what forgiveness is. Take a look at your outline. Forgiveness is a step in a journey. It's an event and a process. If you would like that surgery illustration, it's taking out that malignant tumor out, but then there's recovery afterwards, isn't there? And that's the same with a relationship that's been broken with, if you will, the cancer of sin. An offense is given. An offense has been received. Forgiveness is given. Forgiveness is received. And the cancer is now dealt with. And now the recovery happens. That's God's answer. You see, that's how he dealt with you and me. When he forgave our sins, it didn't just stop there. Aren't you glad? Man, I am so glad it didn't just stop there. He continues to bring us into a deeper reconciliation with him. Jesus Christ died for your sins and for my sins, that he can bring us back to God. Okay, forgiveness is a step in a journey. Forgiveness is a choice. That's what we mean by a step. It's a choice. It's not a feeling. It's a choice. A choice based on fact and the direction in life we want to take as a follower of Jesus Christ. The choice between forgiveness and unforgiveness is a fork in the road. Maybe you're at that fork right now. I don't know. But I know if you are, and you choose the wrong fork, you choose the wrong way, it will have consequences. I know that. Because I've experienced it. But I know that even more clearly because God says it in his word. And God's word is truth. And God wants us to have that step, that choice of forgiveness, an experience of process of grace in reconciliation, that he might be glorified, but that relationship might be healed and made stronger. It's based on these facts, if you will, and there are many other facts here too, but let me just share with you a couple. There's at least three statements. My obedience to God and fellowship with him is more important than unforgiveness. Is it to you? I'm learning now. I not only want to finish well, but I want to do well right now. I really do. And I've messed up so many times. I really have. Pray for me, brothers and sisters. But I want to grow in this grace of the gospel of forgiveness. Forgiving one another, even as God has forgiven you for Christ's sake. My obedience to God and fellowship with him is more important than unforgiveness. My desire for God's forgiveness outweighs my desire to hold on to unforgiveness. Is that yours? Is your desire for God's forgiveness, does that outweigh your desire to hold on to unforgiveness? The third one, my love for Jesus defines my love for others and my willingness to forgive them. It's a process. It's a process. Let me share it with you, and you have that in your outline before you. There are four promises in the process when you have said, forgive me, brother, sister, I've sinned against you. And that forgiveness is given. That's the start. That's the start. That's the choice. That's the step. And then the journey process begins. Let's take a look, if you will. Four parts, four promises in that journey, if you will, of forgiveness. I will not dwell on the incident. Sometimes I have. But I have to remind myself again what biblical forgiveness is all about. Because God doesn't dwell on my sins anymore. They're under the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. He doesn't dwell on your sins anymore if you've been forgiven. And you're in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says all of your sins, past, present, and future, are under the blood. He doesn't dwell on them. Why do we dwell on the sins of others after we've said we've forgiven them? You see, I need to make that promise. I will not dwell on this incident. I will not bring this incident up and use it against you, the one that has offended me. Oh boy, we can do that real good, can't we? You know what I mean? Yeah, I know I have. And it's not a gift. It's not. It's a curse. It's a curse. It's not a blessing. Next one. I will not talk to others about this incident. I need to promise that. I won't talk to my next door neighbor about this incident that I had with somebody else. So you know what I mean? Or my other brother or sister in Christ. And the fourth one. I will not allow this incident to stand between us or hinder our personal relationship. Four promises. I believe these are biblical promises in the process of forgiveness and reconciliation that we make. Why does God allow offenses to come up? You know, we should be harmonious, shouldn't we? I mean, shouldn't we be as melodious and harmonious as we are in our singing? Right? Are we made one in Christ Jesus? Yes. Well, why do we have offenses then? Between ourselves and between ourselves and other Christians, within our families and within the church family. Let me share with you a couple of thoughts. Our Heavenly Father allows these things to come up to the surface because they're part of what's in our heart. He allows them to come up to the surface to help us to realize how much we have been forgiven by Him and the cost that it cost Him to forgive us. I need to see sin as deep and as terrible, as offensive as sin really is. Number two, He wants to show me how much more I need to grow in grace and Christ-likeness. Number three, He wants to encourage me how the gospel of Jesus Christ continues to have power to transform my life, my relationships, my marriage, my family. I believe He allows these things to come up to show us these truths. And He also allows these things to come up to demonstrate this amazing gospel of grace within the church and to a lost and dying world that really needs the grace of forgiveness and healing. What does forgiveness look like for the believer in Christ Jesus? I believe we can extract these, if you will, this snapshot picture in Ephesians. Check, take a look at your outline before you. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Well, how does it look like? If a church is rift with divisions, and all of a sudden there's a moving of the Holy Spirit and God's Word, and there are people who are involved in those divisions and are hurt or have hurted others, and all of a sudden their heart is so convicted by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and they say, no, you know, it's going to stop. It's going to stop right now. It's going to stop today, and it's going to start with me. And they go to that person that they have offended. Or they go to that person that offended them. And they say, look, I've offended you. Please forgive me. Look, you've offended me. And I've forgiven you already. Can we work on this relationship now? What does it look like when a family and a church family has that work of God's grace and gospel? Well, let me share with you a picture of that from God's Word. It's communication that is building up and grace giving. That's part of it. That's part of the picture. That's what happens. Because, you know, there's no silent treatment anymore. There's no avoidance. There's no running away. There's communication with the focus of building one up and giving grace. It's honest communication, it's helpful communication, and it's healing communication. Well, how else should it look? Well, let's continue on, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 4. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Do you know how else it will look as we follow through in forgiveness and reconciliation in our marriage, in our family, in God's church family? The Holy Spirit is no longer grieved, but now free to bless, and He will. One of the reasons we don't have blessings in our life, in our marriage, in our family, because we're not forgiving. The Holy Spirit is grieved, and He's holding back those blessings. I don't know about you, but I need and I want all the blessings of God on my marriage. I need and I want all the blessings of God on my family, my children, my grandchildren. I need and I want God's blessing upon my church family. Don't you? Now, verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. What does it look like when God's people forgive one another in the true biblical sense of forgiveness and follow through on those four promises and go in that process of grace and reconciliation? Well, defensiveness, destructive, and defiling attitudes and actions toward others stop. Have you ever gone into a church where you could actually feel the tension? I have. When you know things are not right, I have. Have you ever gone into a home and you know there's a facade, but you know things aren't right? Have you ever been there? I have. You see, that's the time, whether it's in the marriage, the family, or the church, that the people involved cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, it's going to stop. It's going to stop today. It's going to stop now. Lord, help me by your grace. Another, how it looks, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. How does it look in a marriage, in a family, in a church family, in a community of believers, when forgiveness, true forgiveness, is given and received, and reconciliation starts? Relationships are rebuilt through reconciliation by those reconciled to Christ. We've used the term reconciliation, katalasso. I want to exchange that brokenness for wholeness. I want to exchange that bitterness and resentfulness and defensiveness and self-destructiveness for what God wants for me. And for you. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us. Listen to that. Entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. You know, there's nothing that can happen today or in your future life that forgiveness cannot conquer. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I need to encourage you that right now you need to know there's nothing that can happen in your life today or in the future that forgiveness right now cannot conquer and make you whole. But we also need to remember there's nothing that happened in my past that forgiveness today
Where are your relationships? Only you can answer that question. Father God, thank you for these clear instructions, directions, commands for us to love one another, to serve one another, to encourage one another, to build one another up, to forgive one another. Lord, we know that your grace abounds as we seek to obey you, Lord Jesus, in doing and following through on these one another's. Lord, I pray that if there's a brother or sister here today that has been offended or has offended, Lord, that they would take that step. And that today they would say before you in prayer, Lord, may it stop today. Give me the grace to go and do what I need to do, to give forgiveness, to receive forgiveness, to be reconciled. Oh, Father, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.